Take off the blindfold. No resort, no secluded. These are the times that I tried. Soul population control. We wasting time chasing gold. They out the morning.
Cheap hurts.
That's right, you're listening to Cheap Hooch, but actually this week, we should probably do a better job of announcing when it's not going to be Cheap Hooch, because this week it's going to be another episode of Fog City Horrors. We're very excited here. My buddy John, say hello, John, over there in the purple mic. Oh, he's busy. No, no, the one with the arm. The one with the arm, that one. That's the good one. That's you.
Hello, hello.
Hi, John. All right, I'm going to go ahead and turn down some music. We got a little bit of setup to do. For those of you in the know, we also post a video of our episodes on YouTube. Right? Yes?
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
So we'll go ahead and do a little bit of setup. I'm going to leave you with some spooky Halloween generic tunes. Oh, the film's this week. We're going to be reviewing Carved, which is currently streaming on Hulu. We're going to also be reviewing Hellboy Crooked Man.
And VHS Beyond.
That's right. Which is currently available on Shudder. Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. All right, again, some generic Halloween tunskies, and then we'll be right back. This is going to be Fog City Horrors.
We'll be right back.
Cue the coughing. All right. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Welcome back. Again, this is Holly Hooch and Johnny, and today we're doing Fog City Horrors. We're going to be reviewing some movies, some horror movies.
Yep.
Let me get my drink ready.
Am I coming through? I'm coming through.
Oh, you're coming through. All right. Crank it up.
Turn up my headphones a little bit and kind of get the mic a little more.
Mm-hmm. All right. So one of the... Oh, here we go.
I'm fiddling with the mic. All
right. We are live on the air, John.
All right.
All right. Well, let's get started. I know that you wanted to start off with VHS Beyond.
Yeah. And let's just say... Oh, wait. Hang on. I'm making noises. All right. Mm-hmm. So welcome to Fog City Horrors and VHS Beyond.
Right.
Is what we're talking about.
So, John, you're a sucker for found footage movies, which I've learned to... Well, I liked initially, but I've learned to love just hanging out with you because you're so enthused about them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is one of our favorites. Do we get one every year? Does a new VHS come out every year? I feel like they're really frequent.
I think they've been doing that now. I don't think at first they were every year, but it seems like now they're coming out every year.
And you know what else? If I could just gripe for a minute. So right now it's streaming on Shudder, which of course 100% recommend. Shudder also has Creepshow. They brought it back. The TV series. So it started, I think, in 2019. But we've been having, like, they've been putting out a season every year, well, approximately every year. And it's usually, of course, around Halloween. And this year, it didn't happen. I haven't seen anything new pop up. I don't know what's going on.
Weak. But it does kind of feel like, well, I don't want to jump to it, to the review portion too early here, but. Yeah, so VHS Beyond, as you were saying, found footage, anthologies.
My favorites.
Which is great, of course. And it's found VHS footage. The original VHS is, you know, they literally, I think they keep the theme in this one where they literally find VHS tapes. And they're, you know, spooky, haunted VHS tapes.
Right. I mean, it's the aesthetic is on point. It always looks really good. And I'm really appreciative of what they're doing. I really like the one, like, VHS 1985 was probably my favorite so far.
Yep. Wait. And,
finger gun.
And we'll edit this, but can you, like, can you lower your mic and then rotate it up? Because it is right in front of your face.
Covering my face. Okay.
It's like mic, total mic face.
Like,
oh, squeaking. Wait.
How about like this? Is this good enough?
Can you? Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll edit this.
Sure. I'll continue on these too. Look at that. Ooh. Huh?
We'll, yeah.
Side mic.
Even better. Even better. Even better. All right. And that's because we're on YouTube and we're filming this with video. So if you want to watch these episodes on YouTube, you can go to Fog City Horrors on YouTube.
I wore makeup today.
Nice.
I steamed the shirt for the YouTube. Nice. I was like, ooh, I'm going to be on camera.
Exactly.
I should probably get these wrinkles out of my face. I mean, my shirt.
A little the substance will
a little
take
the
care
substance
of that.
Oh my god. I love that Morticia and I were on the same page. We're like, yeah, sign us up for the substance. I don't know how it works.
Okay, so VHS Beyond.
Okay, so we watched these movies. We watched it together. Was it like a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
And would you jog my memory about the stories?
Yes. In fact, I felt the need to get some little summaries of each episode of it because of the fact that it, and this is a little bit of a criticism, is that they're kind of hard to remember what the stories even are.
But that's true of all of them, though. They're kind of like, it's brain candy. It's very, very good brain candy.
Yeah. No, it's true. But there are standout ones for sure, which all just take a moment. Still one of my all-time favorite. I don't know if it's from the second one or the third one, but is the magician one where the sort of crappy magician finds Houdini's actual cloak and then is using it, and it has actual magic properties. And that's a great one that stands out to me. And then there's the one with the girl who is like the... sort of demon predator who preys on frat boys that pick her up at bars.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I really like the, or maybe, I don't know if like is the right word as much as it really stuck with me, the one about the game show for children mm-hmm. that traumatizes a family yeah. and then they recreate it and they get the show host to come back and like mm-hmm. and like they just fuck them up.
And it's basically like all of those Nickelodeon
yeah,
shows
exactly.
from the 90s.
We were like, yeah, those were really traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely. A good one too. And well, and that actually was from 1985, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was from the 91, 94 one, VHS 94.
94?
Like
oh, okay.
I think it was the 90s one. It's hard. They do all kind of blur together. There's yeah. now like five of them.
Yeah,
something.
Is that the one with the little army men mm-hmm. in between, like a segment, like the sort of the story in between the vignettes? That was, mm-hmm. that was, I like that one.
Yeah. What do they call that? Like the bookend story? Or
I don't know. I'm going to look that up.
So the first one for this one is Stork. Is the name of mm-hmm. the short story, and this is the one where it's a sort of group of police officers.
Oh yeah, that was good. I did like that one. It was very much so a video game, mm-hmm. POV video game.
Yeah, the whole thing felt like a video game, a shooter, a first-person shooter, and but also I thought it was kind of hilarious. The group of the cops, they all were kind of very lackadaisical, which I know was kind of the point, but they all
right.
were like kind of wearing their hats like at a weird jaunty angle on their head.
We were making jokes about like, are these like, you know, the kind of cops you can bribe, like corrupt cops that don't really give a shit.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought it was when we were watching it too, is that they were crooked cops.
Yeah.
It was confusing.
I'm like, why are they like so like unstructured? Why aren't they more cop-like? And then there was that really old rookie. I'm like, why is this guy still in rookie uniform? Shouldn't he be a detective by now?
Yeah. And, excuse me. And some of them also spoke with these really comical Brooklyn accents.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like TV cop with like the... I don't even want to do it. I can't even do the comical TV accent.
And they had a couple of slight cliches, like the super brass balls chick with the mm-hmm. with the short hair, and yeah, like she looks like a badass. But then she didn't like. There wasn't much to her backstory. Like, or not. Let me rephrase that. There wasn't much to her, you know, front story. Like, she didn't do much
yeah.
other than like she fought a lot and then she got killed. And okay, everybody else did too.
Yeah, they were all very much caricatures.
It was a good. That was a good one though. That was, and it actually reminded me of that other movie we watched, Loop Track.
Yeah, yeah, because it has
A giant bird.
A giant bird monster.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoilers.
Turns out it's a bird.
It was the real monster was birds all along.
Turns out it's birds. Well, actually, I don't know if it's appropriate to veer off a little bit, and mm-hmm. I think that Loop Track did it much better.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, because that one was more of a serious movie. This one was like a fun mm-hmm. brain candy movie, but because the bird in that movie was fucking terrifying,
and it looked really realistic.
It looked real, and you're like, yeah, that could totally happen. Yeah, mm-hmm. that bird could fuck you up.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, it was like an alien bird,
yeah.
like a supernatural something or other.
Yeah, aliens. For sure, aliens.
For sure, aliens.
That's the theme of
oh,
this.
That's right, Beyond. That's right.
Beyond. It's a space
sci-fi. It's a space
sci-fi.
Theme, yeah.
And that's kind of a thing that's been happening lately, too, is sort of alien abduction horror seems like it's more popular currently a little bit.
And what happened to all the abduction stories that happen, like, in the wild? Whatever
yeah.
happened to those?
Yeah, people don't really get abducted anymore.
They're really into Satanism now.
Ew.
I feel like it's just, they were never real, and it's just, like, the fad of the time.
Mm-hmm.
People freak
yeah,
out.
Yeah, the fads. Exactly. And same with the satanic cults, where that's kind of a fad in its own way.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, so kids are, young kids are being abducted, and for some reason, but it's the stork, sort of like babies, and a bird
yeah.
creature is like the stork, and it's babies uh-huh. being kidnapped, and there's like a weird sort of zombie demon baby they find.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like, I don't feel compelled to maintain or to keep true to the plot. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, they barely did.
No, yeah.
Because there was that one cop whose kids were there.
Yeah, well, one of the cops, his kids had been abducted by the
story. Yeah, and so, like, the other cops were there to help him. So they were kind of, like, you know, off the books.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's what it was, is they were sort of there just doing their
own and thing. And all their guns were probably, like, you know, taken out of, like, the evidence locker or something. Yeah. I don't know, the cliche in all the cop shows.
But they definitely didn't look like the kind of guns that the police actually used. They were like movie guns.
They were movie guns.
Movie machine guns.
That's not standard issued.
But yeah, first person video game is kind of describes that first story.
And there was also a zombie element, because the stork would peck through people's brains, skulls, and eat their brains.
And then they became zombies.
And then they became zombies, and then it's okay to kill them. And then, then they kept a bunch of babies in the attic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know
where the babies came from.
Wanted babies.
Did it want babies?
I mean, the thing is, the stork delivers babies.
Yeah. Right? Let's write a letter. Dear VHS.
I know.
Attention Beyond.
I know. It's like those Star Trek nerds when they're like, actually. That's not how the transporter works. So then the next one is Dream Girl, which is like a Bollywood story.
That one was fun. I liked that one too. I mean, it had some cheesy parts, but again, cheese is the name of the game when it comes to VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a Bollywood dance, which was really fun.
And it felt like it was made actually in India, or maybe not India, but in somewhere in that area.
Like a production studio related to the country rather than like just Hollywood doing its thing.
Yeah, because it looked like it was filmed it was definitely not filmed in America, at least is what it looked like. But a production that, I don't know, we should look, we'll figure it out. You know, that's something I just want to point out about this show as a little side note, is that this is very much a conversation about movies.
We don't know shit.
We don't really do our research.
No.
We just watch the movie and then talk about it, which I think is good, because that's like a pure kind of review method for, we're just like regular people who watch the movie and then review it, you know.
Yeah, we're just having fun. We really enjoy horror movies, and we actually really enjoy sitting down and talking about them. Mm-hmm. And actually, John, you've got a whole lot of nerdy background on horror movies, and me, I don't. But I enjoy hearing them, and I watch them a lot. And I watch them so much that I don't remember a lot of them, because I also drank.
And they all kind of blur together.
Mm-hmm. There was many times where I get through a movie, and I'm like three quarters of the way, and go, wait a minute, I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And then Joe says something like, that's what I was telling you before. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
So anyways.
Going back to the movie.
Bollywood. So this one's pretty simple. It's a Bollywood star and some paparazzi guys sneak into her dressing room.
One of them fairly misogynistic.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, take it easy. Like, he was a big hater.
Yeah, definitely. And they, basically, the one paparazzi guy is sort of telling her she's really great and that she's a goddess and she can do whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of triggers something in her memory, and she remembers that she is actually some sort of like robot space god.
Yeah, she's a robot, and it's like the studio has been using robots to sort of create A-listers, and then they somehow switch faces.
Yeah, well, she decides she's going to take the paparazzi guy's face and then rule the world as a commoner, is what she says.
Oh, that was confusing. But the bloodbath was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was good. It was, she basically freaks out and just starts killing everybody.
Mm-hmm. And that's the story of her. So yeah. There's not a lot of meat on that bone.
No, and she just kind of has robot red glowing eyes, and there are sparks coming out of her, and yeah, she just kind of wreaks havoc for a little while.
She rips people apart and then like beats them up with their own limbs, which is always a fun.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is good. What else do they do? Generally pretty good. It was a decent little short. I didn't, again, the motivation or the plot was loosey-goosey on this one as well.
Yeah, extremely light on the plot for these. And this is where it's like, I do like the VHS series, but I feel like they did better at coming up with short stories where each of the stories are like complete short stories.
Right.
Because on older anthologies, like, you know, obviously Creepshow is mm-hmm. a classic. They're full complete stories that right. have plots in, with a beginning, middle, and end.
And they still have a decent amount of time. I feel like, how long is each story? Like 15, 20 minutes? 20 minutes?
Yeah, because on those, it's usually three or four stories. Like, there will right. be, like, the wraparound story and mm-hmm. then, like, three stories. So it ends up being, like, four usually. Which, when you're doing three main stories and just one little wraparound story, you can be a lot more complete. And it does feel like these are maybe overloaded. But maybe that's why it's easier to produce something where the writing and the story is kind of lesser to the spectacle, and then instead of having like three stories that are well written, you've got like six stories that are very loose.
I was giving you the face of I don't know. Well, I just I think maybe, you know, if they're putting one out every year or approximately every year, the maybe the quality of the stories are not going to, because yeah. I remember the stories being a little bit more like cohesive in the earlier installments of VHS. I remember yeah, that the punk rock band. That was fun. And also, and they were lower production value. I mean, like, the Bollywood story was very high. I thought was fairly high production value.
Yeah, no, they look good. Yeah, they're just, the stories are so basic.
Like,
and
yeah.
It's just almost like a premise more than an, it's not even a story, really, these.
You know what? I bet there's, like, a lot of story. There's got to be some backstory behind the creation of these movies where, or I think, I think it's switched studios. Like, it might be, mm-hmm. like, because now it's, like, a Shudder exclusive. So I don't know if it means, like, it changed hands mm-hmm. from, like, the people who created, like, the VHS concept. And,
right.
And
the
maybe
original
yeah,
people.
And we didn't look into that. Sorry.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying. I bet.
And then, so the next story is "Live and Let Dive," where it's a group of friends having a birthday party where they're skydiving.
I actually really liked that one, but I liked it mostly when it was in the air, and then when it got on the ground, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Although that's when the killing started, which was, you know, kind of fun too.
And basically that when they're in the air, they see a UFO, and then they end up crashing into the UFO, and then everybody falls out and kind of either falls or skydives.
Falls to their death or yeah. opens a parachute that they had on. Well, it was really neat to see that. It was kind of creative to see that point of view, because they're in a little, like, you know, airplane for, you know, skydiving. Mm. And then there's this alien spacecraft, and then the U.S. government plane is coming in, and mm-hmm. whatever you want to call them, and it's,
oh yeah, the jet fighters show up,
right? And they're sort of like, there's a space battle, so that was kind of neat.
Yeah,
is it considered a space battle if it's within the atmosphere?
no,
damn it.
Yeah, it's just a regular air battle.
It's just but there's aliens.
But there are spaceships. But yeah, once they get to the ground, it's just
actually
the aliens chasing around people and killing them.
And they look like a mix between humans, aliens, and spiders. Big, mm-hmm. big spiders.
And they have a little beam that shoots out of their head that they melt people's faces with.
Which, you know, neither here nor there, to tell you the truth.
Although they don't, the main character who we see his point of view when they're on the ground, he gets lasered in the face, but it doesn't melt his face, though, which was weird.
Inconsistent.
It melted everyone else's face. And then he gets transported up into the ship, and that's basically it.
And that's that, yeah.
An abduction.
An abduction.
So then the next one.
Oh, do we want to talk a little bit about yeah. the in-between story, or do we want to leave that for the very end?
Yeah, we could leave it for the very end. The very end. Because there's not a whole lot, anyways, going on with that.
That's true.
Kind of, but
it's a haunted house. It's fine.
And then, so this is interesting. So the next one is Fur Babies, which is...
Oh, that one was good.
Mm-hmm.
That one was actually really good. A whole story, like, it kicked butt. It was mm-hmm. creepy as hell. And it yeah. reminded me of Walrus.
Tusk.
Thank you.
Which is not a coincidence, because
it's the same guys.
Justin Long.
That's right. Justin Long
directed this.
That's right.
And he starred in Tusk.
Wait, but Kevin Smith did Tusk, right? So
yeah.
Did he have to ask for, like, did he have to be like, hi, Kevin, can I kind of sort of rip off your story?
I know. It's kind of weird. It seems intentional, because if it's not intentional, then that would just be extremely bizarre.
Remember when I was really jealous of Justin Long for, like, years?
Were you? Why?
Because, this is going to sound so bad. Because I didn't think he was all that, but he was in all the best movies, all the best horror movies. And I'm like, God damn it, Justin Long. You're just basic. You're mid.
Yeah,
and I was just being a hater. I was just being mean. I was just being bitchy. And I'm like, you know what? He's doing good work.
No, it's
leave
true.
Him alone.
He is really basic. But he's also good. He's in Drag Me to Hell, and he's pretty cool.
Barbarian, and he did really good.
Yeah,
in Barbarian's
good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, and he is good though. But I think a lot of people's annoyance with him comes from those "I'm a PC and I'm a Mac" commercials because he was the Mac.
He was in Dodgeball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was the Mac.
But it is weird because for those who don't know. Wall or Tusk is a movie where Justin Long gets turned into a walrus. And then this story is about people being kidnapped and turned into dogs by a woman who is cast, I feel like, specifically to look like
a cat lady almost.
What's her name from?
Kathy Bates from Misery. Okay. Yeah.
Because not only does she look like Kathy Bates, she has the whole personality that the character had.
Oh, for sure. In that movie. And that was my favorite one, I guess. I think I'd said that the parachute one was my favorite, but I take it back. It was this one.
It's this one.
I forgot.
Nice.
But yeah, so it's a group of activists. Like college age activists, and they've decided they found this woman online who provides pet care, and in her videos she shows like her taxidermied animals, her previous pets,
and they didn't like that,
and that was the only reason they went after her, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they thought she was doing weird stuff. With animals.
That it was,
suspected there was weird stuff going on there, but they thought she was just abusing animals, and then they discovered it was people.
That wasn't enough. Like they could have gone for much bigger fish. I mean, there's a lot of shit going down in the world, and you're gonna bother this. I mean, admittedly, she was awful, but they didn't know that.
Yeah. And then, so that's basically all that. And then, essentially, the animals kind of just come out and go crazy and attack the animal rights activists.
Well,
the human dogs.
Let's call them human dogs. Came out and attacked the activists, and then the activists get turned into human dogs.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's basically it.
But it was really creepy. Well, particularly the scenes where they show the animals, the human dogs that she's already broken, because you got to break their spirit.
And there's people already there.
Yeah, that have been broken and are willing to behave like dogs in order to be fed and let out of their cages and whatnot. And then, of course, their brains are so broken that they will attack humans, even though they could probably get help from those said humans.
Yeah. It's sort of...
That's the creepy part. That's the sad part.
Almost like a little human centipede-ish. But
is that what happens in Human Centipede?
Well, he turns them into Human Centipede.
And then they're into it?
I guess. Not really. I don't know why they'd be into it.
I was too creeped out by the concept of Human Centipede back in the day when it first came out that I never watched it.
It's a surprisingly tame movie.
Really?
The first one. I only watched the first one, not the sequels.
But surprisingly,
it is not as graphic as you would think it is.
Oh, I back in the day, which, how old is this? Like 20 years ago, maybe, probably, when that one came out?
Yeah, probably.
I remember just being like kind of horrified, like, that's too far.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's like, no, man, it's fine. Like, the third Human Centipede, I think, is set in a prison, and it's like a chain of like 400 people.
So stupid.
It's just like, you gotta keep, adding more, to it.
More people.
It's gotta
for
be
the
more. More people for the centipede.
All right. So then.
Oh my gosh.
So then the last one, it is the last one, yeah, is Stowaway, which is basically just a woman making a UFO documentary.
She's
kind of out in Arizona, maybe somewhere.
Yeah.
And she's filming the lights of UFOs, like a group of UFOs. Kind of like the Arizona lights, which I don't know if you...
I'm from Arizona, and I have no idea what that is.
I can't believe you don't remember that.
When was this?
You would have been
alive,
conscious and aware. Totally. It was in the 90s, I think, the mid late 90s.
Yeah, I was self-aware at the time.
Mm-hmm. And basically, there were a formation, sort of a V formation of lights moving slowly over Arizona. But the thing that was interesting about it was that people in one town were calling up and reporting it, and then it would just kind of keep cruising along, and then people in a neighboring town would call up and see it, and people were seeing it throughout the state as it kind of moved across the state.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
But it was a whole thing. And then they had a news conference with the mayor of Arizona. Is it? No, it's not a mayor. What is
governor?
It, governor?
The mayor of the, king the of town Arizona. Of Arizona.
He came out and he basically said, he said, we caught the people responsible for doing it, and then brought out a person wearing an alien mask.
Oh my God.
And the whole thing was very weird, and it made the UFO community go crazy because they thought, like, why would he do this? It's so strange. Why would he do that? So it just kind of reinforced the UFO
theory. I didn't have cable. So I didn't know about any of this. I think in the late 90s, I was just... I had other concerns.
Yeah. And so hilarious. Basically, and then so one, and this is such a minor criticism, but in the previous one, when the person gets abducted, they're in the parachute one when he's in the car, and everything goes kind of weightless, and there's like a cool effect with that, and then he gets pulled up. They do pretty much the exact same thing in this one, where when she gets abducted, all of a sudden, you know, everything goes weightless and then she gets pulled up. But they have a better shot in this one, though, because then when she gets abducted and she's up there, she points her camera out a window and you see the planet Earth and it's all kind of dark side and it's all lit up really cool.
That was neat. That was, I had a lot of fun with this particular short. I liked it, too. Well, the main character, the woman who's the journalist and researching whatever, I can't remember if she's a scientist or whatever. Mm. No, I think she's a scientist. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I don't think it explains at all.
Well,
she's making a documentary, you know that.
Right. And so when she encounters the UFO, and then she does everything that any normal person would not do. Like, she has no self-preservation instincts whatsoever throughout the entire, like, short. And it's the most... At first, it was the most frustrating thing ever, and then it became the most hilarious thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, she approaches this thing, which is like a black orb, mm-hmm. perfectly smooth, and as she approaches it, it opens up into a doorway,
mm-hmm.
And it was like, don't go in there. But of course, she goes in there.
Yeah, she goes right in.
And I was like, why don't you put a rock at the door, maybe? What would be the door? Because it's just like a random organic opening. And then it closes behind her, and she can't get out. Guess what? That's what we all thought would happen. And then she starts touching shit.
Yeah,
like poking things. I'm like, stop touching things.
Yeah. And she, and little nanobots come out, and she cuts her finger on on something, and little nanobots come out and fix
heal
her finger.
And then she starts doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Because she likes it, and she wants to see what they'll do.
And guess what?
Well, and then so she finds other. It looks like they've picked up other creatures from Earth. Mm-hmm. There's a spider and something like an octopus and some other animals.
Right, like specimens.
Up. Yeah, and we can infer that she's been picked up a sample as well. But
and then she gets turned into a hybrid of all of the other fucking specimens. I'm going to stop cursing so much. Sorry, it was frustrating. I'm like, that's what I thought would happen.
Yeah,
you the nanobots. dumb lady.
I guess maybe the nanobots don't really understand the biology of human life.
And they're like, we'll just take some of this.
We'll just combine everything.
It'll be fine. Yeah. It's fine. They're all earthlings.
And so basically she gets turned into a spider tentacle creature by the nanobots.
And then by the end she's like, cure me. Mm-hmm. Cure me.
And then they take off and fly away. So I guess going back to the home planet to display her.
I will say, I don't know if it was... the booze or the drugs, but in the early part of that segment, like, she's talking and, like, she's really pretty, and then on top of that, the things that she was saying and the way that she was saying them was really interesting, and I was, like, mesmerized. I'm like, she could start a cult, and I would sign right up.
Yeah.
But then when you see her, like, just, again, no sense of self-preservation, I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, yeah. And so then, you know, the wraparound story is just the, is basically just kind of investigators, like UFO investigators, yes. and a story about a haunted house, mm-hmm. maybe. Which is, it seemed like they were going to connect all the stories to the house,
but,
that didn't happen. But it felt like that's what they were doing at first. And then interestingly, also, they involved the Corridor Crew, which is a YouTube channel.
Oh, that's right.
Of visual effects guys who, among other things, will debunk UFO videos because they're visual effects people. So they look at them and they talk about how they think they might have been faked, or if they think they're fake, and how they would mm-hmm. do them if they were going to make them themselves. And what was funny is they were playing actual clips from their YouTube videos of them debunking UFO videos. And it was like
great self-promotion.
I know. I didn't look long enough. And of course, we didn't do our research, but I was wondering if they were.
And of course, we didn't do our research.
I was wondering if they were involved in actually making some of the effects Ooh. For the movie, but I don't know. I didn't notice that they were, but...
That should be our tagline. And of course, we didn't do our research.
Yeah, exactly. We never do.
We never do. We're just here to have a good time, all right? I'm not here to do homework.
And so, yeah, like, review, we should probably get to
Oh, yeah, okay. So, out of five skulls, because yeah. we rip Shutter off.
And we can do point fives.
Okay, I'll do a very like a C++, like a 3.5, mm-hmm. but honestly I really enjoyed it. I don't want to push it to a 4 because that's like I reserved for like Too oh my god much, this yeah. movie was amazing, mm-hmm. but this movie was really fun. I had a really good time watching it. We laughed a lot. it was a really good time. So I will always recommend a VHS until they put one out that I hate, which mm-hmm. I don't think is ever gonna happen.
Yeah, I think I would go 3.5 too, because 3 is kind of like average, mm-hmm. you know, but this is above average, but it is limited because it does feel like these movies are getting kind of, they're very successful, mm-hmm. and it does sort of feel like the people making these movies are feeling like, oh, we can kind of get away with not
really. We can do
really,
what we want. Yeah. Let's go print some money.
Yeah, and so it does kind of feel like they're slacking off a bit on the stories.
Fine. Slack off. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I'm not good at my job either.
But it's better than average, and the effects are good. The gore and the zombie faces and everything are all really well done.
Production value was high.
Yeah, so, yeah, 3.5.
Yay, 3.5. All right, that was fun, and we're on a roll now. So we'll put on a little bit of music so that we can take a little bit of a break, and then we'll come back and talk about...
Crooked Man?
And what was the other one?
Carved.
Carved. You want to do Carved?
Yeah.
Because I think Crooked Man was really good, and maybe
okay.
that one.
Oh, save
I
that gave it for away. Last.
Save that for yeah, last. Okay. Yeah. Stay with us. This is Fog City Horrors.
Calm down, darling. Calm down. You're imagining things.
It's not my imagination. This is all real. So dead and ugly.
We'll be right back. icy grip of fear clutching your spine. No, you say? Well, you may already be dead. Such frightful tales of fiends and werewolves. It's enough to make a ghoul want to do the ghastly stomp. What do you say, boys?
Back, and it's Fog City Horrors. Welcome to Fog City Horrors. And just to reiterate again, you can find us on YouTube.
Yes.
At Fog City Horrors. Mm-hmm. If you want to see these episodes.
If you want to see our faces.
Yep. Yeah, see our weird faces.
See our weird faces. It's true. It's true. It's fine, though. It's fine. We've got personality.
Mm-hmm. Which makes up for it.
So, some of it. Hey, man, if we were any better looking, we'd be on TV. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. So, we are talking about
the movie Carved, which is currently streaming on Hulu.
It's a Hulu produced movie, I believe.
Good for them. It was solid. I'll just come out the gate strong. It was a solid movie. I was really pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
because it didn't need to be. I mean, a lot of it's a very common genre, subgenre of horror. We saw.
Yeah,
but it was. I thought it was well done, and I thought it was smart.
Yeah. So overall.
So, immediately, we opened the door because it was getting kind of warm, and immediately the noise starts up.
I wonder, should we partially? We could just partially close it really quick.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just keep it slightly ajar. I'll go ahead and keep everybody entertained while you run to the door and keep. There you go, awesome. And then he's back, and he's got headphones on his head, and look at that.
It's warm.
It's warm. Warm it's warm here, about today.
So we need some air, but it's there's warm about noise yesterday. Outside the $10 million studio that we record these at, as you can see from the paint.
If I had $10 million, I would also be doing this, actually. This is for funskies.
Also, as an aside, so we do, if you watch these episodes, you can see there's missing paint on the walls. And we used to try to cover the missing paint, but now I feel like it's become part of the show. I think that it's sort of part of the character of the show.
I think so, too. It really bothered you at first, and we would cover it up. And then since this is a shared studio with Radio Valencia, other people would be like, no.
Why?
No.
We were making it look better.
They're like, no.
So now it's... This is part of the show. This is a show of regular people watching movies and talking about movies.
Yeah.
And there's missing paint on the wall.
Do people, do we have a community yet? Do people comment on our videos yet? This is early days. I don't care. You know, if people want to follow us, it'd be really nice. And if people want to chat it up with us and ask for movie recommendations, that would be really nice. Mm-hmm. But these are early days, you know? We just got started.
And we're really not doing any promotion or social media marketing,
right, which
or anything.
We kind of should at least, again, early days, we'll get it together. And also, like we mentioned earlier, we got weird faces. It's not like we can we can just rely on our good looks to get us followers.
And it is kind of interesting to see if it does kind of build. And the videos are getting some views.
Oh.
And seeing sort of a community build naturally, but we're not getting comments yet, so
can't wait for the mean comments that I'll never read.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, John, what are they saying about me now?
They're just going to say we have weird faces.
Yeah.
We're weird.
They're going to call us fat, John. Oh, fuck it. It's engagement.
Oh, well.
Engagement
exactly.
is engagement.
So...
Let's get back to the movie, actually. So, Carved,
which is overall a movie. I think the premise is genius, where there's a chemical spill that makes a pumpkin into an evil sentient pumpkin, basically. Mm-hmm. And it gets taken to a pumpkin carving contest at Halloween.
Yes.
And this is the Halloween episode, by the way. This is our Halloween special.
Oh, Halloween. It came and went too fast this year.
And that's why we also picked this movie, because it seemed like a perfect Halloween...
It's easily available, it's fun, it's good.
And it's about Halloween.
It's about Halloween.
Pumpkins. And so he the evil pumpkin goes to a pumpkin carving contest and sees... Actually, it's not even evil. I shouldn't call it evil, because it's just a sentient pumpkin, and it sees its other pumpkin kin
get carved.
That was a good one.
Pumpkin kin. You caught yourself. Like, did you hear that?
That should get us more views for this video. But it sees them getting carved and killed, I guess. And then it swears revenge on all of
humanity.
The people.
Yeah.
Well, not just humanity, but on the people who carved the pumpkins.
Right. Because as he's killing the people, he has a little flashback to like them having a really fun, wholesome time carving a pumpkin. And they're like, "You cut out that person's or that pumpkin's eyes. I will cut out your eyes."
It does that great thing where when he has flashbacks of the people carving the pumpkins, It plays in slow motion, and the audio is all slowed down. Yeah. So it's like, they sound all scary and monstrous. Yeah,
that's pretty great.
Yeah, it's like PTSD flashbacks.
We can set a little bit more of a premise, too. So this is taking place in a small town. It's, of course, it's Halloween time. It's fall. It's really pretty. The cast of characters is this, the group of characters is this sort of half town folk. No, they're all town folk, but it's some of them. There's like, the mayor?
Mm-hmm.
DJ Qualls plays the mayor or something. Some sort of
reporter?
No, he's
there's the reporter.
He's
the
government official, right? That's being interviewed by the reporter.
Oh, right. Yes.
And he's the one who was at the beginning. He's like, "Can we not talk about the scandal?" And I actually forgot about the scandal altogether. And then they're being interviewed. I forget the actor's name. Him and like some other local dude are being interviewed. And then there's a play, a production, a local, town production with like older teenagers, like kids in their 20s and 19-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them, a young girl who wrote the screenplay, she's 20 or something, and got a little brother.
Oh, and she has like
asthmatic, or maybe he has anxiety attacks or something like that.
And she wrote. If she has kind of a Hamilton play that she's putting on, which is good.
and a boyfriend who is about to, move to New York to follow his dreams.
To be an actor.
And to leave her behind, even though he cares. So there's a little bit of a backstory. This movie has it's got a couple of good, solid casting choices in it, which I was really happy to see. So DJ Qualls, you might remember from all of those teenage romp movies from the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. He always played the nerdy kid in the teen movies.
And then it hit me. I'm like, oh my God, DJ Qualls is getting old. Mm-hmm. But also,
he still looks the same.
Looks the same.
But he's just like more wrinkly.
Yeah. A really great comedian that I like, Carla Jimenez. You didn't get to see her being too funny in this. So she was the Latina sound manager from the play.
Mm-hmm.
She had a great costume too, because at some point they're in different. She was Teen Wolf. I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to be Teen Wolf now. Joey and I, we can both be Teen Wolf.
I want to go van surfing.
Okay, yeah. He wants to go van surfing. As long as you don't fall off and hurt your face. Okay. What else? So she was in The Mick. She was in Raising Hope, which is a fantastic show that I really love. She was really funny in that.
Mm-hmm.
She was funny in The Mick. And she was in Nacho Libre.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So she was the, I think it was like the mayor's daughter. She had this really ugly, poofy pink dress. And she would run through tunnels, scurry through tunnels in her house.
Oh.
Remember?
I haven't seen that in ages.
It's hilarious. I mean, like, there's some questionable choices in that movie, but there's some really, she's really funny.
Yeah,
so I'm really happy to see her. Whenever I see her, I'm like, yeah, it's Carla.
Yeah, and all the actors are really good and funny. It well acted. Nobody was really bad in the movie in terms of the acting.
The girl who was the screenwriter or the scriptwriter, she's also really young. So I'm like, I don't want to be a dick to like young actors when they're like, they're just learning stuff and whatnot, but other than that, like, it was a lot of fun. So in the premise, the journalist is, and we can probably Google, do we want to try to Google the cast, because I feel like he's somebody. So the journalist is trying to get a story. The DJ Qualls wants to focus on the town festival. Do you remember the scandal he was trying to reference in the interview?
The chemical spill. The train derailment. Which is very timely, because it's a train derailment that had a big chemical spill, which we had happen.
Solid plot.
A year or two ago.
Excuse me. So, DJ Qualls wants to focus on the festival. And, of course, there's also the harvesting of the evil pumpkin, or I'm sorry, the sentient pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
By, I forget this guy's name, but he also played a teenager, a stoner teenager in early 2000 movies. He was a guy dressed like corn.
Elvis Norausko.
That's the reporter.
He was the reporter.
Yes.
He's in The Godfather of Harlem.
That's cool. And then the guy who was the guy who picked the pumpkin to begin with.
Oh, that's Maddie Cardarp. pole.
It was interesting to see him, incidentally, being 41 and still playing the same roles of, like, you know, the dopey kind of fuck up, town fuck up. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, what is he from?
Again, in early 2000 movies, he was just like, you know, the like stoner teenager.
Mm-hmm. And I did like the song. They made a, because this movie takes place in the 90s. And they made a 90s hip-hop stoner song.
Shit, John, I totally missed that. I didn't realize it was supposed to be the 90s.
I believe it is. I'm pretty certain.
Nobody had phones?
No, nope. They might have had flip phones. But, and I forget why it's set.
Because the 90s are back.
Yeah. Maybe, I know. There, I don't know if there was any really... Yeah, on Halloween 1993.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if there's any compelling reason why it was set then, other than the fact
people like
that
the 90s
just
now.
Kinda, yeah, it's
and it honestly, hip. It didn't... It wasn't impressed upon me. It was just like, oh, it felt like modern day.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe because the 90s fashions are back.
And also, Chris Elliott is in this
movie. Oh, that's right,
too.
Chris Elliott.
From the 90s, very much a 90s actor. Yeah. He was on David Letterman for a long time. He was one of the writers for David Letterman.
I didn't know that.
Was on there. And then the ill-fated Cabin Boy movie, which...
Why was it ill-fated? I thought it was fine.
It was a huge flop when it came out.
Well, because it was... I mean, it was
cheesy,
but it was ahead of its time. I didn't think it was anything wrong with it. But.
A lot of people are rediscovering it now. And the thing is, the comedy style is way ahead of its time because... It's very much that awkward comedy that's popular now.
Oh, the kind of, okay.
That almost like trolling kind of ironic, like intentionally awkward style, intentionally bad, quote unquote,
style
of comedy. And also it was ill-fated because Tim Burton was supposed to be involved in it, and it was supposed to be a very Tim Burton-y movie, and he
that
was
would have been rad.
Involved, and then he pulled out at the last second,
oh no,
which kind of screwed everything up.
Aww.
Yeah.
He is really rad.
And he's good in it, yeah. He's not in it enough, too, really.
Mm-hmm.
He should be in it more.
Of course. I mean, if you've got Chris Elliott, you should use Chris Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, just as a little side tangent, I finally watched Dumbo. I didn't realize that was him, too. Not Chris Elliott. That was
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton.
Yeah,
it's really good. It's Ava Green looking hot as shit and just like being all spooky, and it's good. It's good
indeed.
Stuff. But yeah, let's go back to Carved. So I thought that a lot of the kill scenes were really inventive.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my favorite ones, one of the earlier ones, the pumpkin, which it's a big one, and it can. I'm pantomiming like I'm... Oh, that's right. I am on YouTube. All right. It has tentacles that come out and then attack people.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can just pierce through them, and other times they're more... They're more, I don't know, what do you call it, articulate?
Grabby.
more grabby. That's a better word.
And, you know, it reminded me, we, on a previous show a long time ago, we reviewed a Christmas movie, and I forget what it's called. But it's the one where the tree was possessed by the serial killer. And
the British one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I usually like British shit so much, but this isn't saving it.
And it wasn't very good. And one of the weird things they did in that was that the tree would sort of grow tentacles that it would attack people with.
Yes, I remember.
And it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I remember we were kind of talking about how it just didn't make sense why it would do that. But in this movie, it was reminding me of this movie, or this movie, Carved was reminding me of that. But Carved, it actually makes sense because the, you know, out of the top of the pumpkin, there's the vines.
Right, so they're vines.
Out. So they're vines, yeah, that act as
John approves.
Tentacles. So it's like, okay.
This makes sense.
This actually works.
This is scientifically proven.
Yeah. And it's cool because he walks around like a spider, you know.
Yeah.